Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Valerie Donner, who is a spiritual healer and counsellor, teacher and speaker, and channels a number of entities, namely Myra from the Pleiadian High Council, Kutumi, Dwarjkul, Mother Teresa, and Sanat Kumara. I hear you're already on the line. Welcome, Valerie.
Well, welcome to you, Mike. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
It's very nice for you to accept the offer to come on here. Now, I'm sure there is a question which everyone would like to start an interview, and certainly I would, with someone who does channeling, and that is, how did you start it, and how do your different entities come through to you?
Excellent question. Well, Mike, I've been meditating twice a day for over 30 years, and probably 10 or 12 years ago, in the dream state, I saw myself speaking for Mother Mary and didn't feel worthy, just didn't think I could do that. So a few months later, I think it was about 3 months later, one Sunday night, I heard the name Dwarjkul. He kept me awake all night. I had to get up and write down his name because I didn't know who he was. So I had to get it up and write it down, and then I called a friend of mine the next day and asked him about Dwarjkul, and he told me who he was, and I thought, well, that was interesting. Well, the next time I meditated, I saw Dwarjkul. I actually saw him as I probably would have recognized him as the Tibetan. I saw him in orange, and he had kind of an orange hat on, something like you would see the Dalai Lama wear.
Yeah.
And so I recognized him, and then the next time I meditated, he told me to get a pen and paper and to start writing. So he taught me to channel. I've got pages and pages and pages of writing from the Master Dwarjkul. So that started it.
Did you start to publish that immediately?
No, I actually kept, a lot of it was personal. He helped me through a lot of different things that were going on in my life at the time. I put some of it, I think I started putting some of it on my website, but a lot of it I just, you know, I just learned from. I learned how to channel, and he's just a wonderful master, and I've started several times. I've got the beginnings of a book with him. I got titles for 5 different books that I was going to write with him, but you know what? I haven't done them yet. There have been starts.
Right.
You know how that goes, Mike.
Yeah. Was his contact with you also in the line of giving you sort of personal guidance?
Yes. Very, very good guidance. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. If it
at some stage, no doubt that same information would, in fact, make a very interesting book. Is that one you're working on?
You mean the personal guidance and that sort of thing? A lot of it's about
well,
you.
Well, yes. I'm assuming what is good for one is possibly also very good advice
That's
for another.
True. That's true. And a lot of it's about healing.
Yes.
And, well, I should go through my notes. I have those yellow tablets. I have many yellow tablets
yeah.
of information. It's a good idea. I should sit down and at the computer
right.
for hours and see what we could come up with.
Yes. Now, my own impression of your work is that I've often seen messages being passed around from Myra, who you tell us is from the Pleiadian High Council. Would I be correct in thinking that you do get that entity through more than any other one?
Well, I've been working with her. I spent about, I think probably about a year before I started putting writings up on my website, just merging with her energetically at the soul level so that I could get, you know, a good, like have a good connection with her. So I guess it just depends on, I've started to write a book with her too. And that one, it feels like the time is becoming very timely. It's timely now to get information out from her. She's a very lovely being. And I just think that what she probably has to tell us is really important at this time.
Yes. Has she actually told you at any stage whether you also are a Pleiadian?
Well, I definitely have spent lots of time in the Pleiades, and I know that I've known her for, if you want to say, millions of years. I know that we're very good friends, and she offered to come to me to provide information, and I think that I have the energy now, and I think I have probably enough time where I can focus on bringing that forth. So that would be good in a book form. It's all about energy, right? When you're working all the time, you know, running around and seeing clients and doing everything, and then trying to spend time writing a book is also.
Now at the moment, for obvious reasons, the majority of the messages seem to refer very much to this period leading up to Ascension. Now, I have seen one of your recent messages going back to the end of last month, 27th of August, and it's mentioned in there. But in general terms, what do you find is predicted for this remaining period?
Well, a lot. we're already, basically, my understanding is that our bodies are still trying to make an adjustment to the higher dimensional energies in which we find ourselves now, because we're really more in the fourth dimension and sometimes going up to the fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth dimensions in our vibrations, and our physical bodies are having a hard time catching up. So a lot of physical manifestations, change in consciousness, it just depends on everyone's, you know, individual consciousness and frequency. And so this is indeed a time of profound transformation for us. And from different accounts of time, some say we're actually in 2009, which means we're only 3 years away from being in full consciousness. So 2012 is the year when not just the Mayan calendar but other indigenous calendars have indicated that this is the end of our life, way of living in the heaviness of the third dimension, that we're going to be in a higher frequency.
Yes.
So does that align with pretty much with what you're getting?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I think generally speaking, 2012 does seem to carry a lot of agreement amongst people and those advising about this particular period, so I would say absolutely yes. You spoke of the body changes there, and in fact in your message that I referred to, which was one from Sanat Kumara, he did mention about the cellular structure changing. Can you enlighten us any more on that one?
Yes, a bit. Well, basically, our bodies have been carbon-based. And what's happening is we're in the middle of the photon belt energy, which comes to the Earth around every 25, 26,000 years, which is a band of powerful light that comes to us from our Creator. And our plants and our animals and nature can certainly adapt and adjust and assimilate these higher frequencies of light, probably more than the physical body can. But that's what our bodies are doing now, is that our bodies are taking in more of this light, and we're becoming crystalline-based, silica-based,
yeah,
rather than carbon-based. And that's a huge transformation. That's one of the reasons we need a lot of rest, and we need to.
Yeah.
You might find your body requiring different types of food now, because greens are really good. Anything like that has chlorophyll in it, because then you're getting the plant energy and the light energy that's coming in there.
Yes. Your message from last month is obviously very handy here, because you're leading me again by your comments to something you said when you introduced Tanak Kumara's message, and you were talking about the symptoms that people are likely to feel. Perhaps you could talk a little about that.
Yes, and what you want me to talk about that a little more?
Yes.
Well,
I was simply going to say that in your introduction to that message, you actually mentioned the type of problems people may encounter with the changes.
Indeed. Dizziness, joint pain, and kind of unexplained physical pains, that you can't necessarily trace to anything. Headaches, the increased need for sleep, which we talked about. Disturbed sleep, increased thirst. The body needs so much more water now. That our bodies are, 70-80% water, and water carries consciousness. See, so the more water that you drink, the more, and good water, the more that your body can take in this consciousness. Restlessness, muscles and aches and pains, or other flu-like symptoms. I think also we're becoming increasingly sensitive.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Indeed. Yes, at times.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that a good cup of coffee would class as water?
I would say probably not. Caffeine,
oh, what a shame.
Caffeine. I know everybody loves their coffee, but caffeine. Yeah, I mean, caffeine is I've had to be off of it, oh my goodness, for 35 years. I can't do caffeine, too sensitive.
Yes.
But a lot of people, love their coffee, and you need more water. Coffee's one thing, but it's not going to give you the water that you need.
No.
The liquid that you need in your body. Sorry, Mike.
what a shame.
You're in England. You're supposed to be drinking tea.
Well, I used to, but not for many years now.
Oh, really? You gave up tea?
Oh, no. I just have become a coffee addict, I'm afraid. But I drink it in moderation. That's the main thing.
Yeah, moderation. Yeah. Well, you could come over to California and, go to Starbucks with us.
Yes.
They have great coffee.
Oh, we know all about them. Yeah,
yeah, do you? Everybody likes Starbucks and... different.
Well, I do personally, yes.
Yes.
Right, just following on to that about water, there was a Japanese scientist who looked into the properties of water, and he found that it had a very strong element of consciousness. Now, is that the factor that makes water such a valuable thing for the body?
You're talking about, I know who you're talking about, Masudo. I hope I said his name right, where he photographed all the molecules of it. And what was your,
yes.
I couldn't exactly quite hear the end part of your question. What was the last part of your question, Mike?
what I was asking is that if the consciousness within the water is one of the reasons why it's so good for us, it has some benefit when we ingest it into our system.
Oh, yeah, well, that makes...
What is it?
I think that...
Yeah, in other words, what is it in water that makes it so valuable to the body?
Well, you know, what I recently read something about water, and that water is really light. When you take the... What I think I read, I'm not a scientist, so if there are any scientists listening to this, you know, you can, you know, correct me if you choose. But that if you, I think I read something that if you actually just dehydrate water, it just becomes pure light energy. So we're mostly, our bodies are water, light, you know, we have to have a heavier, more dross physical form to be in the heavier drossness of the third dimension. But we're not going to need to have such a drossly heavy physical form as we become more imbued with the light from the fourth, fifth, and higher dimensions that our Creator is giving to us, that we're taking in. And we're not going to be eating the dross types of food that we've been eating in third dimension. We'll be eating food that is of lighter substance, and you know, so we'll just be assimilating more and more light. Our bodies will be lighter. Our bodies will youthen, and we'll heal the bodies. It's going to be really fun.
So it might follow that people that are doing that will find themselves actually directing their thoughts towards these sort of lighter types of foodstuffs, the ones that have the sort of heaviness about them, no longer are satisfactory, are they?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, we seem to have dealt with that one. I mentioned that you are a spiritual healer. I guess a lot of the listeners will be familiar with different types of healing. But what type do you actually practice?
Well, I practice a type of healing. It's basically, it's deeply connected to your soul, to your heart, which is where, when we have physical things coming up, there's always an emotional component. So I go very deeply to the heart and soul level of a person, which is where the healing needs to occur. And from that, I am given information, whether it just comes through or I have a clear knowingness. I'm very empathic, so I feel things, I see things, and I work with energy to help people clear their issues, because whenever we have dis-ease or whatever it is, it's pain, whatever, going on in our physical bodies, it always starts somewhere out in the spiritual, comes into the mental body, then into the emotions, and then into the physical body. So it's important to work with the emotional body. And so this is why I'm have the ability to go deeply within the soul, and I help people get in touch with the inner child. I like to call the inner child the messenger of the soul. The inner child is actually physical as well as spiritual. So I usually see a person's inner child at around the age of around two and a half, when they're really little, when things first start happening. And it's quite touching when some people have connected with the inner child before, but a lot of people haven't. And when they get in touch with the inner child, then the soul starts to open up, the heart starts to open up. And then I work with the person's, their team of angels and masters and guides and whoever is with them. Yes. And then my team, the masters, and like Mother Mary and Saint Germain and Dwalkul and Kutumi and Sananda or Christ, whatever you choose to call, a whole big team. some Palladian healers. I mean, when I was first trained to do healing, the first time I put hands on someone, I heard this voice say, "We are here." So it's like I had resisted that, but you know, so that we all have a team, and then it's just called up for the highest good, and then I'm guided through a session where to go and how to help the person if it's clearing fears or emotions or working with energy. It's all about energy.
Yes, indeed. Right. If I can just sort of jot around a bit here, because I'm interested in feeling some of the comments you made in your message from the 27th of August.
Yes.
You've evidently read somewhere about a likely axis tilt.
Oh, yes, I did.
Could you say something about that?
Yeah, I did allude to that. That I'd read something about that on the internet, that the Earth's axis had actually shifted 26%, but this wasn't being told. And I did get a couple of emails, two or three responses to that, a couple of people saying, well, that couldn't be possible. And so when I write my next one, I will discuss that. I know that when we had the tsunami, you know, in Indonesia.
Yeah.
What was it, 2.5? Is it almost 3 years now? I think it's almost 3 years now. That I know that that was so powerful. I know that the Earth's axis really started to tilt then, and that that's when we really started seeing some changes in our normal weather patterns, because the Earth is tilted at a different angle. And what I read was about, in that article, if I can remember, it was something about how the polar ice caps are melting, and that is also creating part of the shift of the Earth's axis. But I'm not a scientist, so what did you think of that?
No.
Does that concur with what you've been reading or hearing?
I think we all do the same thing. We read these different reports from which we form our opinion. I think it's possible that with the melting of the ice caps, it would help to create a greater wobble of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's possible because of the, if you like, the weight of the ice cap. If you change it or reduce it, it must have some effect on the Earth itself. I don't personally feel that there will be an axis tilt, but I think there may be in the ultimate a pole shift.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're here for it, I'm not sure.
Well, so how would that be different from...
With one, the whole Earth reverses, if you like, or turns.
Yeah.
Whereas with the other one, it's the as I understand it, it's the plates that move inside the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the magnetic point of the North and South Pole may, for example, completely reverse.
Mm-hmm. I think the Earth has been through something like that before.
Yeah.
So, one way or the other, it's the magnetics of the Earth are changing.
Yes.
And have been for quite
some time. Now, you're obviously into numbers, and you were talking about the number 9 vibration. Of course, 999 has now passed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the 18th of this month has a similar energetic pull to it?
Yes, I think it does, and I think that's what the numerologist, the 18th and the 27th, this numerologist from Holland, Frank Hoederbeet, he said that's another, you know, 9 vibration, and of course 9 is about transformation and completion. And I had a gathering at my house on the 9th, and it was very powerful. And I woke up the next day feeling really well, and like something did, like we did shift something that day. So we're being supported in this transformation and ascension process you know, through the sacred geometry, through numerology, through astrology,
yeah.
through the ligrum, through the masters, through our creator, through the photon energy, through the earth. Through it, we're supported, all of creation, through
right.
what we're going through right now.
Yes. Right. I'm still referring back now to your message, but I've reached the part of it now where the actual message from Sanat Kumara was sent out. And one thing that I'm curious about, he's speaking of what he calls a powerful meeting place at Shambhala.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that many times. It appears to be a very special spot upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything more about it at all?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert on it. I do believe it is a higher dimensional place. Somewhere, I think, near the Himalayas. Somebody else might know more about that. I could have asked him. I've just started. He came through so strongly for that channeling. I mean, I've just started channeling him and connecting
yeah.
with him. So I get the energy, I get the information, and I don't necessarily think to ask him certain questions. I just kind of step aside and let them talk.
Yes.
But yes. I think it's somewhere around the Himalayas, but inside the earth, in a higher dimension.
Well, I have heard that, certainly, yes.
You've heard the same thing?
Sorry?
You have heard the same thing.
I'm losing you a little bit there, a bit faint.
Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, oh, that's better. I don't know
okay.
what happened there. You just faded slightly there.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Sanat Kumara was talking about literally what we have to do as far as ascension and the survival of the Earth. And he was saying that people tend to take the Earth for granted. And he wanted us to, I suppose, understanding the role that it plays in our evolution. Now, you've obviously taken many messages over a period of time. Can you add anything to that as far as the importance of the Earth in our evolution?
Well, you know, we are all one. So what happens here on the Earth affects all of creation. You know, there's a very powerful dynamic that, you know, where our planet is held in a certain energy and various positions of the planets, and it's all, you know, sacred geometry and divine and our consciousness. What happens here, like all of creation is watching this because what's happening here with the Earth is it's actually a divine experiment because usually when planets go through an ascension, and the Earth being a living soul,
yes.
you know, the Earth has chosen to follow her soul's direction and going back from, I understand she actually started out in the higher dimensions, like the fifth dimension, which would be what we would probably call heaven on Earth. A very blissful
yes, yes.
place to be. And she actually, do you know that whole story about the laggard souls and how she took on the laggard souls? Do you know about that, Mike?
I seem to have heard about it.
Yeah,
if you wish to just enlighten me, you're quite welcome, yes.
Yeah, the souls, there were souls that were not evolving spiritually throughout creation. I heard as many as 6 billion of these souls. And
yes.
she agreed to let them come here and to see if their souls could evolve. And what happened, my understanding is what happened is that the higher dimensional souls that were like in the fifth dimension started inbreeding with the laggard souls, and that's when we went from the fifth to the fourth and the fourth to the third, and now the Earth is not, just can't continue to evolve in the third dimension with all of the, you know, the pollution and the wars and all of the negativity that's upon her, and she's been extraordinarily tolerant of us. So she has chosen to move spiritually as a beautiful soul that she is to the fourth, the fifth, and on her soul's evolution. So usually when this happens, when a planet chooses to make an ascension, there isn't any life left on the planet. Usually the planet...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the planet, life leaves, and then the planet ascends, and then life comes back. But we're being allowed to remain on the planet, my understanding. Do you have different information to that now?
No, I think what it has might be put over in a slightly different way, but I can go along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same message I keep referring to, Sanat Kumara said that he was the planetary logos. Can you explain exactly what that means, his role is?
Well, the planetary logos, my understanding is that he actually has taken on the energy of the Earth. Okay? That his soul energy is taken on to assist the Earth with this ascension, but their energies are... merge together, is my understanding.
Right.
So he's helping the Earth and Venus make their ascension.
Oh, that's fine, yeah. Now, I'm looking again here at your message, as I keep on doing, which is a good source of questions for me here.
Raises
again, this is still in the Sanat Kumara's message. And he's talking about the ascension of the planet, which we've been talking about ourselves, and the rising consciousness of sentient beings who are choosing to remain here. And he's saying there is a choice. So to what extent do you feel free will is coming into this as far as the choice as an individual soul, whether we ascend or not? Or do you perhaps feel that everyone that's agree to be here at this time would necessarily go forward anyway?
Well, again, I think you hit it. It's a free will choice. And there are some souls that are choosing to continue to experience whatever it is that they need to experience in the third dimension. They like being in the third dimension, and they like the material world. So those souls may not choose to go through an evolution into the fourth and fifth and higher dimensions at this particular juncture in their evolution. So it's the opportunity, I believe, for ascension is offered to everyone, and if they don't choose to go, they will end up remaining in an energy, a third dimensional energy of the Earth. There's supposed to be another Earth, a new Earth that's coming.
Yeah.
You know about that too.
Yes, well, that would be my own view of what is going to take place. I ask the question because there are some messages that come through that tend to suggest that everybody will go forward to ascension. I can't quite see how that is happening, but there you are. We have yet to see the outworking of all of this. Now, Sanat Kumara also said that the Earth was a primary focal point for what happens here, and it affects all at large. And I've heard it said a number of times about how important the Earth is. Now, have you got any further views about that as to why we seem to be so important to the rest of, shall we say, the solar system or whatever?
Well, because what happens here affects everybody else. That's why, you can't have nuclear weaponry. If nuclear weapons go off, they're terrible. They don't just affect this planet. It goes out into space to other planets. All that energy. I mean, it's I don't want to get on a big nuclear discussion, but what happens here affects all of creation. That's my that is my belief. That's what I've been taught. So
carry on.
Yeah. So what happens here, you know, everybody else is kind of hinging, it's hinging on what, you know, happens with the earth.
Yes. Yeah, right. Well, I also was given that we are the last civilizations to achieve ascension, because the levels at which the other planets are ascending is, of course, already higher than ours.
Mm-hmm.
And we could effectively, if we didn't proceed and achieve ascension, hold everything else back.
That's true.
It seems to make good sense.
I think that's true, what you just said. And it's been
But quite clearly, the amount of effort that's being put into helping the people of Earth to achieve ascension, without a doubt, will ensure that there isn't a failure. I don't think that's even an option. But as we are discussing here, there is free will choice. If people do not feel ready for that type of upliftment. But Sanat Kumar said in your message that, and I quote here, you are reaching more of the global consciousness because you are that power. And every time that you believe more and more of your potential ability to bring forth the greater manifestations, to hold your consciousness in the light, to hold your consciousness in love, to keep your hearts open, to find a place of oneness and peace within the midst of all this change, you're doing your work.
Yeah.
There's quite a statement there, but that is absolutely true, isn't it?
Yes, and
you spoke about, I think, even in on your healing side, about sort of getting through to people through their hearts. And again, Sanat Kumar was saying, as you open your hearts to those around you who don't understand what is going on, you will see that there are many who still don't understand and are asleep, as you know. And he's asking us, isn't he, in effect, to spread the news, as it were, and try to help other people by informing them or working with them to help them to get on this path.
Yes. That's true.
And you're doing your bit, and I hope I'm doing my bit, and also many others.
Yes, there are many others. And you know, the heart, they've actually studied the heart. There's a place here in California called HeartMath that does a lot of research on the heart. And it's quite an amazing, you know, it's a scientific, but also quite an amazing organization that teaches people how to actually move through emotional things and not have, you know, necessarily the physical impact on the heart that you would if you didn't know how to use some of these tools. But they've actually measured that the heart is 5,000 times more powerful than the brain.
Really?
So, yeah, so the energy of the heart, I mean, it's amazing. And that's where I think you get to quantum healing. Because that's when you open up. It's through your heart, Mike, that I know you know this. It's through your heart that you connect with the heart of the Creator. Because we all come from the Creator's heart. We're all essence of our Creator. And that's right in the heart and the soul. The soul is there in the heart energy. And some of the esoteric religions actually believe that there's a separate entity in the heart.
Yes.
So it's extremely intelligent and powerful. And that's why...
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. That's why the focus
right,
on the heart.
I was going to say here that it's a very interesting message, this one from Sanat Kumara. Now, he's talking in there about people... healing themselves or being healed, and he's referring to those things that they carry with them that go back in the past and where people perhaps feel they've been hurt, maybe in their childhood or whatever, and they find it difficult to let go of that feeling Is that the sort of thing you do your healing for, or your counseling?
Yes, I help people clear that out. You see, Mike, everything that's ever happened to us is imprinted in our soul. And so, you know, when you have, like, I had a lot of resistance to doing my healing work and channeling and all this, which you may have had too, because we, in past lives, if you believe in past lives, and I do, because I believe the soul is eternal, and if anything, it's registered, it's imprinted in the soul. So that is why we, at this time, we can't carry our fears, our doubts, our limitations, our, you know, our anger, our all of that. We can't take that with us into the higher dimensions. It just doesn't belong there. It's a third dimensional opportunity for healing the emotions. And the emotions are very intense in the third dimension. But that's one of the reasons we all came here.
Right. It must be difficult, though, for people who can identify with something that's happened in this lifetime, but can't really relate to something that's happened in the past. How do you actually get to the root of that one?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes if it's with relationships, you'll have karmic history with someone, and the connection will be very intense. It might be like a lifelong pattern, you know, that you're working through. It just keeps coming up. I have a client that I'm working with who you know had a very angry father, and we were talking about the law of attraction when I saw her yesterday about how, you know, she came complaining about some angry clients at work and some angry people that she works with, and another friend of hers who's got a lot of anger, and you know, it's like, okay, that's the way your father was. You know, this is a core life lesson for you. And when you start clearing that out, and you realize that anger is not who you are, all these things that you've identified with, that you're continuing to attract that into your energy field.
Yeah.
You know, then when you shift inside, when you have that soul healing, and you go, wow, it sure feels good not to be angry anymore, then you're going to have different response from the rest of the world. Because when you shift inside, everything else changes on the outside.
Yes. What do you think about the media and other sources that Danak Kumara referred to? Telling us what a lot of us already understand is that they throw out things to produce fear, and he's saying that we really have to rise above that. That again can be difficult if you fear for your life, your job, or your home, etc.
That's right, and that's the fear is good. False experiences appearing real. You can use that as an acronym, but fear is used to control people. And the opposite of fear is what? Love.
Yes, yes.
So when people can be controlled, well, that's what, you know, I don't think we want to get way off on all of that discussion, but that's exactly how people are controlled, and the media is controlled, so in terms of an individual's consciousness, if one wants to get out of being caught up in the drama of what the media is creating in terms of the news and other things, then one might want to consider not watching the news, or very limited parts, and or not reading the paper, not getting sucked into, you know, focusing on all this negativity and this fear and darkness.
I agree, yes. But it must be very difficult to go to that extent. But I think you have to reach a point where you can be impassive, where these things can happen around you, or perhaps you can watch the news, and it doesn't get you involved emotionally. You can be an observer without being drawn into the negative energies.
Yes, if you just look at it from a distance, perhaps. I do think it's important. I do not watch television, and I can I have very limited. I get the glimpse of what's going on, you know, through the radio or maybe through the internet. I always seem to find out what I need to know. A bit of newspaper, but, you know, it's just a matter of where you focus your consciousness. And a lot of people, it's unfortunate, at least in this country, many people have the television on, you know, hours. Some people I know go to sleep with it. And you
the
know.
The whole time, yes.
Yeah, with it on. They don't have any silence in their lives, and silence brings peace.
Oh, you're
silence
right.
Silence is a higher vibration. And,
yes.
And so you're getting...
No, I'll go along with that one.
If you have the television on all the time, what you're doing is you're letting somebody else program your consciousness. And there's
absolutely.
A lot of subliminal messages that are being conveyed through the media that you don't even know you're getting.
Yes.
You know, so... It's a matter of who's responsible for your consciousness and who do you want to let in.
Yes, I agree. Now, I was very pleased to see in Sanat Kumara's message that he confirmed that they work in tandem as masters with the whole of creation. But not only that, he said we work with extraterrestrials because they have the technology and equipment that assist the Earth to remain as steady as possible under the circumstances. Which, of course, confirms much that is said within my own messages and certainly those of Sheldon Nidles.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. They have helped us. They have helped us. I mean, I know that there have been several times, I think I heard in 1972, our planet was in deep trouble, and I think, I don't know if it was the Syrians or the Pleiadians who helped us then. And then I think I heard again in 1992, there was another pivotal time when the planet almost didn't make it. And so again, they've come in and intervened without our knowing. And we're very grateful. We're very blessed. And
It was interesting again that in the closing part of Sanat Kumara's message that he was talking of what it will be like after the changes, talking of the wonderful change in the energies, also saying that obviously that you won't be in a third dimensional energy, that you won't need your coinage anymore, you won't have to buy things or worry about paying bills. There won't be any more garbage, and he said it will put the garbage trucks out of business, and no more blowers and noise pollution, and so on. again, that's everything that you would find as you leave this dimension behind.
Yeah. Well, I think there are probably a few of us around who would like to be on a quieter planet. I've channeled Mother Earth before, and. You know, she's told me that she likes it at nighttime when people are asleep because it's quiet. And, you know, so I think she is really looking forward to that without boom boxes and you know, leaf blowers and, you know, some of this. I'm sure you have them over there.
Yeah.
The same thing. It's just very hard on the nervous system. I think the human body is suffering from over exposure to, you know, noise pollution and all the other various
I believe that, yes.
That we're,
absolutely.
That we're,
I don't think we realize it till we're able to get into a nice, quiet situation and realize how much more restful and peaceful it is. Now, we have been talking away here, and the time is flying by, and I don't want the program to end without your having a few minutes to tell us about this new CD that you brought out.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Called Welcome to the Light.
Yeah,
tell us about that one.
Thank you so much for asking about that. As a long-term meditator, I've taught hundreds of classes on meditation, and... So, and I've had a lot of clients that say, you need to meditate. Do you know how? So anyway, I created this CD called Welcome in the Light. The first track is about 10 minutes of discussing why one would benefit from meditation, and then a 10-minute concentration meditation, which is really easy. And all of these all of the CD is with harp music and synthesizer, and it's beautiful music. And then there are two 22-minute guided meditations on the CD that are very healing. And, you know, some people tell me they listen to my CD every day, and it really takes them to another place. So if you want to learn how to meditate, I mean, I've had people tell me it's the best meditation CD that they've ever listened to. So I offer it to people if they have trouble meditating or don't know how and want to know why, and just to do it. Start doing it.
Yeah. Well, I think it is difficult for someone starting from fresh because they're not quite sure what to expect, and therefore they can't actually determine whether they're getting anywhere.
That's right. Well, I have one lady who's a student of mine who came to the class, this one class I do every Monday night, she came, she had a cane, she had arthritis in her hip, she was taking about 16 different medicines a day, going to the chiropractor all the time. She started meditating, and after about four months, she threw all that stuff away. No more drugs, no more cane, no more pain. Yeah. No more chiropractor, because she came to the class and she started meditating. She would meditate 20 or 30 minutes a day, and she healed. So this one wonderful holistic physician here where I live says, like, go to meditation, not medication.
Right.
So if you want to heal your body, it's a very powerful form of healing.
Right. Now, if our listeners are interested in purchasing one of those, where can they get it from?
Oh, they can go to my website, www.thegroundcrew.com. GROUNDCREW.com. Thegroundcrew.com.
I'm sure they've got that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Has it been out very long? Is it?
Well, I launched it last November, got it on my website, and it's been selling on my website and also through some local retail stores, and I need to get it out more.
Right.
I think it'll really help people, because the more we meditate, we'll have peace on the planet if people meditate. When you meditate, you don't get caught up in, you know, driving down the road and having somebody, you know, cut you off. You can become more of an observer.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll have more peace if more people meditate.
Right.
I think our animals are meditating all the time.
Yes. And if our listeners are interested in following up your messages, I assume that these appear regularly the same website. Would they have to subscribe to get access to them?
They can just sign up to get a notification of when I have a new update. Yeah, if they just go to Ground Crew, there's a place where it says that you can sign up.
Do you do them with any regularity? I mean, how does it work out?
Well, I try to do them. I was doing them about once a month. It depends on how busy I am. But now because of everything that's happening, I'm trying to get them out more, like maybe every two or three weeks. Depends on how much time I have to write them.
Yes.
Yeah. How often do you do yours?
Three times a week.
That's a lot. See, I was doing them twice a week for a long time. It was just like I couldn't do anything else, you know. So
I have
other things I have to do. But that's a lot. Congratulations.
Well, I used to do it six times a week.
Oh, my goodness.
At one time.
That's a lot.
It's enough, I think. there we are. Well, look, we're within seconds, really, of having to bring the show to an end.
Okay.
Because I have to finish about 5 minutes before the hour. And it's been a very interesting time talking to you. We certainly weren't short of something to talk about.
Thank you for
all the information you've given. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Mike.
Perhaps in the near future, we
thank
might get
so
together
much.
Again.
Thank you for letting me be your guest.
You're welcome.
And many blessings to you. Bye now.
Well.